friends, if you will, we're not going to go straight to Luke. We're going to go to the book of Colossians. You can find that in the New Testament. If you don't have a Bible, go ahead and grab one. It's right there. I love this. Somebody taught me a long time ago the go eat popcorn. So think of that for a second. Go, Galatians, eat, Ephesians, pop, Philippians, and then corn, Colossians. So go find Colossians. Or somebody said to me recently, God eats popcorn. How do you know that? Okay. But cool. I want to talk to you about a wardrobe change that actually comes from a heart that's changed. I want to talk to you about something you can put on, something you can live out. And this is all about the kingdom. So I'm going to start. For those of you who like the end of the message at the beginning, here you go. Here it is. Here's the end. This is what kingdom living would look like. So it's Colossians 3, and it's 12 through 17. Put on then, clothe yourself is another way to say that, as God's chosen ones. Gosh, it starts with identity. God's chosen ones. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Put on kindness, put on humility, put on meekness, which is power under control, and put on patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. There goes the second time he talks about thanks. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks, third time, to God the Father through him. Now you can put on an outfit. You can pretend that you're something that you're not for a while. We call that Halloween, or we call that dress up. Shoot, there's people that want to put their best foot forward on Tinder or Facebook or whatever. They're look, this is what I look like, but not all the time. This is what I looked like. I don't want to get back to that. You and I can pretend that we're following Jesus. We can pretend on a Sunday. We can pretend when we're around our Christian friends. We can pretend when your youth pastor walks through the door at your school and you're like, oh, no. It's like when you're driving and you're pretty sure you haven't done anything wrong, but you see a police officer and now you're really attentive. Some of you are like, come and get me, copper. That's an issue. Work on it. But some of you are driving and you're like, whew. Yeah, what did I do wrong? Jim Gaffigan says, why is it that when I come into our country from another country, that all of the border patrol are dressed like SWAT team members? He says, I find myself freaked out all of a sudden. Like, did I pack heroin in my... I don't even know what heroin looks like, but I'm pretty sure I've got some. You know, when he's just freaking out. But that's like pretend you're trying to put yourself out there as a show horse. You're trying to put yourself out there as something that maybe you're not, but when you're chosen and holy and loved by God, and you choose to walk with him, friends, you clothe yourself with this. Note that it doesn't say, look, let Jesus put humility on you. Do you know that you can't actually have somebody else make you humble? Humility is your choice. Compassion is your choice. Well, I can be compassionate for a time because I'm supposed to be. Really, if you're a compassionate person, you're going to be compassionate a lot. Not just like Kathy Day, who just bleeds compassion. If you're not sure why or how, just talk with her for a little bit. Or maybe you've got people in your life that have such a position of authority. They've got power in this world, and they're just super approachable. They're just really cool and laid back. They have this ability to help you feel better about yourself after you hang out with them. You know a woman like that? You know a man like that? That's meekness. But I'm going to tell you, you can be compassionate and you can be meek. You can be even humble without Jesus. There's a lot of really good people out there that are seriously far from God. They're made in his image, and so they can't help it. But as far as kingdom people, you're going to have all of this on you, and you're going to bind it all together with love. It's what makes the outfit pop. It's what allows you to forgive, allows you to be tenderhearted, allows you not to hold people's stuff against them, including not holding your own stuff against you. So I think forgiving ourselves might be one of the most difficult places to exercise forgiveness. So with that, I want to go ahead and look the first six verses of Luke 17. If you're brand new with us today or you just haven't been here in a minute, let me remind you or introduce you to the fact that we're going through the book of Luke all the way through 2019. We're getting near the end, so we're finding ourselves doing one chapter a week. Hang in there. We gave out in January these Gospel of Luke journals. Did anybody get one of those? Is anybody using it? Cool, writing out notes. We're going to have a day in the not-too-distant future where we share some of the things that have stood out to us in the book of Luke. I got some notes from a few months ago when I was going through Luke 17. And like I told you before, I'm hoping to read through the book of Luke 19 times. I've read through it 3 times. I've got 16 to do before the end of December. Let's go. And I will. Lord willing. And the creek don't rise. All right. So let's go to Luke 17, 1 through 6. The kingdom is Jesus. Let's hear from the king of this kingdom. He's not bothering me, so let him go for it. Just enjoy it. I might actually just come and grab him, so. Because he loves his Uncle Aaron like crazy. Look at him. He and I have like similar hair and everything. Hi, buddy. Okay. And for those who are listening on podcasts, I'm wearing it, bro. All right. Luke 17. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Temptations of sin are sure to come. But woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin." Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in that day, and he turns to you 7 times saying, "I repent," you must forgive him. We stop for a second. A few months ago when I was reading through this, Jonah came to my mind. You guys remember Jonah, right? What stands out to you about Jonah? Right? The whale or the big fish? We could debate. Was it really? I don't care. The Bible says big fish. Let's go with that. Seaweed around his head. Seaweed around his head. Dip it. You know how he got to the water? Yeah, he got tossed. Do you know who tossed him? Unbelieving people. Spiritual children. People who didn't know their right hand from their left. People who didn't understand who God was. They were in the middle of a storm, and it was super crazy, friends. So crazy that these seasoned mariners, these sailors, these fishermen, these people who understood the sea were freaking out, and they threw all their cargo overboard. And they started crying out to the myriad gods that they had been worshiping, and nothing was stopping the storm. And so you know what they did? They went and woke up the castaway. He wasn't a castaway, he paid for it. So they went and woke up the dude that had paid to get away from God in a boat and said, "Wake up. How can you sleep during the storm? Would you just pray to your God whom you follow?" Ironic, right? Pray to the God whom you're trying to get away from. And he's like, gosh, all right. And he actually doesn't. And it gets worse. And so they're trying to row. And he goes, no. Throw me in the water. This is my bad. And you know what they said? Nope. And they try to go for it. And they can't. And you know what happens? They say, please don't hold this against us. Hey! And there he goes. And he hits the water. And when he hits the water, the storm stops. It would be better, Jesus says, than causing people to stumble in their faith for somebody to be thrown into the sea with a millstone hung around their neck. Check out a millstone online. It's heavy cement wheel. Some of you are like, I'm just not a good swimmer to begin with. That would suck. Yep. Guess what? God is saying to us right now, kingdom people, it is better for you to drown than to have your life cause people to stumble because temptations come through you. Temptations to not know, believe, or trust God. Let it sit, friends, not in shame, but in conviction. And some of you are like, gosh, that is such a stretch. There's nothing about Jonah there. Okay. That's fine. That was just for me and me. But maybe it's for you. So then Jesus goes on to this whole forgiveness, and it's powerful. He says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. Point out when somebody messes with you or sins against you or even against somebody else. Rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day, how much does he want to be forgiven if he just keeps hurting me? Good question. Jesus doesn't actually give us anything to think about other than you gotta forgive him if he repents. Does that mean that you consistently put yourself in a spot where you would be hurt? I don't know. It kind of sounds like it, actually. I'm not talking about beating. I'm not talking about physical abuse. I'm not even talking about mental abuse. But if somebody repents, you forgive them. Jesus doesn't give us room here. Later on, we talk about all kinds, or he talks about all kinds of things about like what happens if somebody doesn't even repent. I don't know if you caught Jesus on the cross. We're going to get there near Christmas time. Which is kind of cool, really. But here he is on the cross, and his Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did they ask for forgiveness? Did they repent? Uh-uh. But that's for then, for now, if somebody repents. I don't know. I don't think Jesus is lower now. I just think, hey, let's start here. Let's start here. You know what the response of the disciples were when they heard that? The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Why? Why do they need increased faith? Boy, it's hard to do. This kingdom thing's not for the faint-hearted. Increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith, like a grain of the mustard seed, just a little bit of faith, you could say to this mulberry tree, which has a significant root system apparently, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. It's not about your amount of faith. It's about doing something with what you got. Why am I yelling? When you do this, you got 3 pointing back at you. We just sang a song, and how much did we mean it? Some of you didn't sing it because maybe you don't mean it or you don't like the flow. I don't know. But you never let me down. Who can seriously say they've never thought that God let them down? I've never thought God has let me down. He's always come through for me all the time. Yeah, me either. I've asked him for all kinds of things that haven't happened. Now, I can testify that he's given me something better than I asked for. I can testify that he didn't give it to me then, he gave it to me later, but there's been things that I think that in his Bible, he's very clear, would be good for us, and he hasn't given it to us. And I'm like, gosh, what happened? Maybe it's my fault. But I want to land on forgiveness. I'm going to give you a chance to actually spend some time in prayer. And the reality is, I'm probably not going to finish chapter 17. But you can. You can go and do something about it. You can read it. I want you to hear from one of my favorite authors. I've started reading with my younger kids, The Chronicles of Narnia, and it's really powerful. It's been a lot of teaching coming out of just this little book called The Magician's Nephew. But in the book Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis says this: everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until he has something to forgive. So if Jesus says, pay attention to yourselves, that means reflect, look into your life, then I want to ask you right now, if you'll take time, we'll play some reflective music. Some of you are going to be like, oh, sweet, a nap. Rad. Okay, enjoy it. Enjoy the nap. I know a guy literally that spends whatever it costs to go to a movie now so he can get a good nap because his life is super chaotic. So if that's what this affords you to do, is just chill and take a nap, then so be it. But I want to ask that you would go deeper than that. That you would take time to reflect, to pay attention to yourselves, to see, God, is there some of that clothing that we just read about in Colossians 3 that I refuse to put on? God, would you help me to put that on? God, thank you that you would even call me in your kingdom in the first place, and I'm your kingdom person, and I need to get involved in your rule and your reign in my community, in my family, at my workplace, at school. God, give me this strength and help me to want to receive it. Take time to ask for strength to forgive and to be forgiven. Take time right now to live out this idea of Jesus being the kingdom, and you get to be like him. You can ask for forgiveness. You can repent. Some of you literally need to come to Jesus right now because you haven't. You've put him off. I'll get there when I get there. Today's there, okay? You don't have tomorrow promised. Don't be freaked out. Just repent. Can it be that simple that we could just turn around and he says, I love you? Dear friend, he's already been telling you he loves you before you turned around. So he's going to keep saying it. He wants you. Take time to pray. And like I said, we're not going to finish 17th chapter, and that's okay. This could be exactly what you came for this morning. Why don't you allow it to be? I'll jump in about 5 or so minutes. Take time to pray. If you need to stand up to stay awake so you can stay engaged, do that. Take that as a picture of you following Jesus, that you have to do things that you may not want to do so you can experience the life that you want to experience. I used to coach football, and that was a reality for us. You do things in practice that you don't really want to do so you can become what you really want to become. Work hard. Trust Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you that today is your day. Thank you that we can rejoice in it, be glad in it, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord, not the joy of getting what we ask for, but the joy of the Lord, where you and what you find as good and perfect and holy, that he who knew no sin becoming our sin, the joy that was set before you, Jesus, that you stayed on the cross rather than coming down and wiping out the mockers and those who nailed you there in the first place. God, you're so awesome, and it's so hard for us to come to grips with how awesome you are. Would you give us a glimpse of that, that we would be so motivated that we would live for your kingdom and your glory? God, I pray this in Jesus' righteous name. Amen. Go ahead. You can turn that down. Thank you. Hey, Hayden, this is going to be weird, buddy. I was praying and God said, Go give Hayden some money and have him buy something for somebody tomorrow at school. And tell him Jesus loves him. Just, it's weird. And you'll freak out. But it'll blow up and turn into flames if you don't. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, bro, it may be weird for you to receive it, but it was super weird for me to just hear, give that to Hayden. And I double dog dare you to give it to somebody you don't know and just say, hey, Jesus loves you. Now, you can blame it on your pastor and say, I told you to do it. Or you can just say, God gave me that, and I'm supposed to give you this. Don't give him the money. Buy him something. And if that, I'm lactose intolerant, then get him something else. All right. And just for me, giving away money is not like to buy your friendship, because we're dudes already. All right, cool. Anybody give their lives to Jesus today? You just said, Lord, I'm yours. I need to give my... Every day, hallelujah. Every day, death sentence. Hallelujah. Look, I'm going to fast forward, and there's a really rad story that I'm jumping over, and it's been preached about by Pastor Josh about the 10 lepers. Nine of them, all 10 of them were healed just by Jesus saying, go show yourself to the priest, and they just believed him and went. And nine kept going, and I don't think they weren't grateful, but one came back and fell on his face and worshiped Jesus and said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And he's like, your whole life is changed because you expressed gratitude. Thankfulness is a big deal. So I'm just going to go ahead and jump to the last 17 verses. And we need to go quick, and it's hard for me to do that. So I'm just going to let you know, will you go really quick to the already? Thank you so much. The kingdom is already, like Jesus has already come. His kingdom is happening in and through us right now. And it's not yet. He hasn't come back to the second time where literally his people initially thought this was how it was going to be. The Messiah comes back and everybody bows, especially those who are messing with us, right? But that didn't happen then. It is going to happen, and Jesus wants everybody to be happy when he comes back, but not everybody will. How about you? Are you getting started on this already, or are you focused on the not yet? Here we go. Verse 20. Being asked by the Pharisees who were there listening to all the teaching when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Nor will they say, look, here it is, or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. He's not telling the Pharisees who don't believe, look, the kingdom of God is in you. He's saying it's right in front of you. Many of us don't want the king, so the kingdom just doesn't make sense. How about for you? Do you want the king? Is he your king? Today's the day to repent if he's not. Quit hiding in sin. Quit hedging your bets. So much more there. So the kingdom is already and not yet. And he says to the disciples, not to the Pharisees, to his followers, the days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. There's going to be days when you just want him to come through for you, and you're not going to see it the way you're looking for it. And people will say to you, look there or look here. Don't go out or follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. When Jesus comes back, you're not going to miss it. It's not going to be like, gosh, what was that? Did you feel an earthquake? You won't be able to miss it. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Kings don't do that, do they? Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man when Jesus comes back the second time.
They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. That'll screw up a wedding reception. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let the one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. Lot's wife was out of Sodom and Gomorrah. She was free from the raining sulfur that was coming down. And on her way out, she looked back because she missed what she used to have. And friends, I'm going to tell you right now, if you can't learn from other people's failure, you're going to have to learn from your own. And God's good. If you're breathing through your failure and through your falling down and you can get back up, then hallelujah, you can learn. But some of you are going to make some massive mistakes. I would encourage you to repent now before you have to go through all of that. But if you, again, are able to breathe through it, then you have a new chance, a new beginning. Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. I tell you, and that night, there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Let me give you a little interesting thought on this that I just read this week. Is it possible that the one that is taken isn't the one that's taken up? The one that's taken is the one that's taken by consequences. And the one left gets to be left to rejoice. Because I don't look at this and see immediately about rapture. That's what most people do. I'm just asking you to consider for a second, because there's a lot of people that are taken up in the consequences. Not up and away, but into. But we know that Jesus comes and makes all things new. Listen to this. One will be taken and the other left, verse 37. And they said to him, "Where, Lord? Tell us how this is going to go down. Where is this going to happen?" And he said to them something super weird. Where the corpse or where the body is, there the vultures or eagles will gather. Jesus is like, look, when the kingdom's here, you're not going to miss it. But you get to live it out now. You get to live it out now. Revelation says there's going to be a lot of corpse someday. Blood running through the streets up to the horse's neck. Please don't wait until then. Please. It's just a fair warning. It's an invitation to walk in this beauty, in this kingdom where he rules and reigns. But yeah, but he just said I have to forgive people even up to seven times a day. It's actually more than that. Like, but then I'm going to have to tithe. It's actually more than 10%. I'm going to actually not be able to have sex with anybody other than my spouse, and I don't even have a spouse yet. It's actually more than that. It's not to just peep out other women. I'm scrolling through the news today, and a former, or she's former now because she passed away, a porn star, Jesse James or something like that. I don't know her name. But I read this article, and this former porn star, before that was an elementary school teacher. What happened? What happened? Do you know that when all the dot-coms fell apart and went bankrupt, porn sites didn't? How many of you, church, are sitting here right now feeling super convicted because you like you some porn? I mean, boys will be boys. Well, check it out. Girls will be girls, too, because there's been a steady increase of female visitors to porn sites, and it's not just a lesbian thing. It's an unsatisfied desire and lust for something that is not
godly. There are men and women that introduce pornography into their marriage, and you know why? They're trying to spice it up. They're trying to keep it fresh. You're checking out somebody else having sex. You think your spouse is going, well, it just makes me think of my wife. Really? You gonna believe that? Here's the other thing. We might as well just add alcohol or drugs to spice it up. You're numbing yourself. You're doing things and you're being held captive by it. Repent of that in the beauty as you can today. Repent of that. You can have new life in Christ, new beginning in Christ right now. His rule and his reign. Jesus is here in the midst of you. You're hearing an older dude. Now, some of you are older than me, but here I am, right? At this spot in my life, I'm able to tell you the good news of Jesus Christ because it's good news. Amen. Amen. Because he rules and he reigns even in me. Now, if he can save anybody, he can save you. Can rule and reign in you and through you. Let his kingdom come, his will be done. Today, I'm gonna get around to it. Really? How do you know? Today's your day. This is not a commercial for you to sign up and help out. This is life today. You don't wanna serve here? God bless you. Serve somewhere else. You don't want to give here? God bless you. Give somewhere else. But your life is not just for you. You've been saved to set an example. 1 Timothy 4:12 says to the young people, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in faith, speech, life, love, and purity. Purity has taken a huge hit. Because it's been a shame game for people. I got something better than shame for you. Purity is an honor to God. What a privilege. What an honorable thing for you to commit your life to, that you wouldn't give yourself sexually to anybody else other than your spouse. You know how many times I've met with people when we're about to do this premarital counseling gig for the next 6 months and they're having sex together? And they're like, well, I mean, in God's eyes, we're married. What? How's that? Well, we mean it. We're committed. It's just a piece of paper. Then why are we even here today talking about this? And we get afraid. And that's why people will actually give themselves to other people. They're afraid they're going to miss out on sex, or they're afraid they're going to miss out on that person. Some people, same sex attracted, can't help it. They're attracted to the same sex. And yet, in your presence right now, harder than it is for you as a heterosexual to say no to your sexual attraction, they're saying no to theirs as a sacrifice and an honor to God. In your presence, in this room. But we pick it. We're like, oh man, if a gay couple walked into this room, we'd be like, oh, what about a couple that's living together walking into this room? Do you know that every service we've ever had, we've had that at some level? Well, not always. Okay, back to the pornography thing. Back to the strongholds that we have. There's not one time we've had a service where perfect people have been in here.
Really?
Not one time. We've tried.
One, Jesus.
He's always here. I mean, the kingdom's here. I'm not the perfect one, that's for sure. Jesus is. Trust him, live for him, love him, his kingdom, his rule, his reign today. Don't put it off. Don't wait for tomorrow, friends. Jesus, this is so beyond me. I can't make all this happen. You can, though. God, would you strengthen my friends, my sisters, my brothers? You strengthen the people that came here for literally God knows what, and they got literally God knows what. But may it be what you had for them, God, so they can know that you are good. Not only does your love endure forever, but your kingdom rules. and reigns forever. We praise you and love you. And thanks for Theophilus. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Come on up if you want to be prayed for. Please come up if you want to pray with people. Come up. It's 10:21. You better get your kids. I'm going to lose my job. Thanks.